How many of you guys have seen the new Narnia movie? One. Me and Missy makes three. That's all so far? I won't give away anything. Don't worry. Trust me. But what happens right at the end? No. Yeah. Yeah, right. What's that? Oh, the old one was on last night. Wow, yeah. At the end of Narnia, the Titanic sinks. So, I'm kidding. No. But when you get 50, those things do get jumbled up in your mind sometimes. You know, it's just pathetic. We went to see that yesterday. It was an amazing movie. It was awesome. Great special effects, computer graphics, and things like that. Thank you, brother. Great moral themes in the way that God deals with each of the characters there and what he takes them through so they can examine themselves. Really beautiful stuff. There was humor. There was drama. There was action. You know, I mean, everything you could want in a movie. It really was superlative. I highly recommend it. Excellent flick. And I guess as most of you are aware, the Chronicles of Narnia, the movies, are based on a series of stories by who? C.S. Lewis, the famous British author. And they're basically an allegory of various Christian themes, starting with the fall of man through sin and the redemption of man through Jesus Christ. Of course, Aslan the Lion is the character chosen by C.S. Lewis to represent who?
Jesus.
Yes, Aslan is the character chosen by C.S. Lewis to represent Jesus Christ, and we see that. Aslan the Lion, he's shown in the first movie, is basically dying for our sins, dying to pay the death penalty for us, and then also conquering sin and death by rising from the dead. In fact, I think, yeah, you can see in the picture from the movie there, it almost looks like he's coming out of the tomb, almost like one of the famous paintings of Christ where he's coming out of the tomb and there's angels and all this kind of thing. So, Aslan represents who?
Jesus.
Amen. Now, one of my formerly favorite actors, Liam Neeson, who has done the voice of Aslan in all three movies. Okay, he's the guy who did Aslan's voice. He recently, just the other day, caused a hornet's nest of a stir and outrage and things like that because he made a statement that for him, Aslan could represent Muhammad or Buddha or the prophets or any other great spiritual leader. His exact words, I think we put that under his picture, he said, "Aslan symbolizes a Christ-like figure, but he also symbolizes for me Muhammad, Buddha, and all the great spiritual leaders and prophets over the centuries." Which is heartbreaking. Number one, it's, well, whatever, I can't say it doesn't represent that to him, but for him, he may represent a tree or a rock or a loaf of bread or, you know, a cabinet. Who knows? For him, he might represent anything. If he's on drugs, maybe he represents swirling colors and, you know, psychedelic music. I don't know. But when you make a statement like that, whether he meant to do so or not, what he actually did was he put Christ on a par, on a level with any other religious leader out there, as though he were merely a teacher, simply a teacher, or simply a philosopher, or some very thoughtful religious guy, some theologian or something like that. And there's a problem with that. How many people would say there's a little bit of a problem like that? Yes, and in fact, as Joe would indicate, there's a huge problem with that. Because as we know, that's not who Christ was or is. And in fact, I mean, if you want to get down to it, C.S. Lewis himself, in one of his most famous writings, addressed that very issue and said, hey, don't make the mistake of equating Christ with these guys. And we're going to unpack that a little bit in a few minutes. But I think it's ironic, it's very ironic to me also, that as we're going to continue in our study of the book of Mark, the passage we come to, in that passage that we're going to review, Jesus Christ himself addresses this very issue. He wants to make sure that people are clear on this, And he asked his disciples two questions. And the questions that he asked them back then, as relevant as they were back then, they are just as relevant for us today. And so we want to look at these two questions and we want to take care how we answer them. So we're going to dive right into Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 27. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. We're going to put it up on the screen. Father, I pray you would just bless this reading of your word. I pray that you would bless these words, Father, that I would decrease and that you would increase and that we would hear your voice speaking to us, God. God, how we treasure your voice. How your voice brings life to our hearts, God. And I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I want to hear your voice today, God. Your voice to me is like water to a man in the desert. Thank you for your voice, God. I pray you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 8, 27. Now, Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" Who do men say that I am? So they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." Then he charged them that they should tell no one about him. Now Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And I think if you were to go out on the street, just stroll around Centerville or go out to the mall and stroll around the mall or Annapolis or somewhere and just go up to people at random and ask them, "Who do you think Jesus was? Tell me, what's your opinion of Jesus? Who was he really?" I think you get a whole bunch of different answers. I think people will give you all kinds of answers, all kinds of thoughts and opinions, maybe something they read in Newsweek or Time magazine or heard on public radio or were watching on some channel, History Channel or Discovery Channel or something, or maybe their grandmother told them, you know, says they sat on their knee growing up and she would make biscuits, she would tell them about Jesus or this, that, and the other thing. You would get a whole variety of different responses to the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? And you might have people that never actually even really known who he is. I mean, I remember when my daughter once was going out witnessing and shared it with a girl in the neighborhood and told her about Jesus, and the girl told her to stop cussing because all she knew was that Jesus was a cuss word. Okay? You might have unchurched people who really don't honestly know who Jesus was. Maybe never darkened the door of a church in their life. You might have some atheists out on the fringe who would try to tell you that Jesus never even existed. And the Holocaust never happened, and, you know, on and on and on.